So we are in our second week of margin, making room for what matters. So if you have your Bibles with you or the Bible in the chair in front of you, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You can also scan the QR code to open it up in the Bible app on the screen, or it's page 1819 in the red Bibles, just to help you get there easier. And one thing about the Bible app that I love is they're celebrating, Life Church down in Oklahoma, who's produced this app, is they're celebrating 1 billion downloads of the Bible this month. They say that every 39 days, it's opened a billion times on people's phones. And it's just an incredible way to get the Bible in many different languages. I know they're trying to expand to every language, into the hands of people who need it. And what great way even for us to be able to engage with Scripture when we're out and about and not necessarily next to our Bible at home. So I think it's a great way to be able to use technology, but also engage with the Word of God. So today we're going to be talking about scheduling margin, because normal isn't working. So I want to ask you a few questions to start. So if you can participate, awesome. So first of all, how many of you would say, I would love to have a little bit more time for myself to do things that I enjoy? Absolutely. How many of you would say, if I had more time, that would just be awesome? Like, more time. Like, if there was 25 hours in the day. Or how many of you would say, I would love to have more time to spend with the people that I love? Like, yes. And I know sometimes that's a tough one as parents, because you love your kids, but you really want that alone time. So I get the tension. And last but not least, how many of you would love to spend more time, an intimate time with God, to just be able to sit with his word and listen to him and hear from him and talk to him? The truth is, most of us want more time. Like, we desire it, we yearn for it. But we don't actually make the most of it. Like, we all want more time for rest, for relationships, for spiritual growth. But the hard truth is, if God did grant us the wish of 25 hours in a day, would we really make the most of that one extra hour? Because 1 hour doesn't seem like much on the surface, but if you total it up over the course of a year, that's 15 extra days of time. Like, that's 2 weeks that God would be giving us. But the reality is, our culture, the pace of life, it has a way of overwhelming us and distracting us and just squeezing out any little bit of margin that we have left. And if you just think about the last time you had an unexpected day off. So you weren't counting on it, but then suddenly, poof, you were given the gift of time. And you're like, man, what should I do today? Chances are you ran errands, you caught up on laundry, you did emails, you tried to maybe get ahead of work or catch up on work that you're behind on, or maybe you just even slept. Chances are there were so many things that felt urgent and that overwhelmed you and distracted you from what we all say is truly important and what we want more time for. But the truth is, that's just kind of the way life is for most of us. It's just constantly on the go. And it's kind of like driving a car that's out of alignment. You know it's out of alignment because you're trying to drive straight down the road and it's pulling you off to the side. And that's kind of the way life is. Because the reality is, all of us are a little bit out of alignment with God. Some of us are a lot out of alignment with God. And it keeps pulling us off center and off to the side. And by nature, we live a marginless life. And if we're not intentional, if we're not careful, that cultural pull takes us exactly where we don't want to go. So, to start off our series last week, we started with a working definition that I stole from Pastor Andy Stanley down in the States. And he says this. He says, margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. In other words, it's the difference between what you have and what you need. And we use some illustrations, like if you have 30 minutes and it takes you 20 minutes to get somewhere you need to be, well, then your margin is 10 minutes. And when it comes to our schedules, margin is simply having more than enough time. It's having that extra time. And it's having the time to help someone in need without losing your mind, without being like, I've got a million other things to do. Why do you need me this moment? Or margin is having time to sit and listen with to our kids and hear about their days and really listen without our minds kind of being somewhere else about the to-do list I need to get to. Which I'll admit, just last night, I was trying to finish my message for today, the meeting notes for this afternoon, and we decided to play a family game, and I was getting frustrated. Come on, we're playing a fun family game. I've got things to do. And then I beat them all and went back to what I had to do. The Holy Spirit's convicting me right now. But margin is having time to be interrupted and be glad about it, to be able to say, man, I'm happy that I was available to help. Margin is having time to rest, to relax, to reflect. It's having time to be with the people you love and not always being exhausted and rushed and frustrated because you can't seem to connect. Margin is having a consistent, unrushed time with the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Time with God, not just the quick prayers of thanks for the food, please help me get through this, but actually soaking in his presence. If we're honest, margin is the very thing that most of us do not have. And that's why these verses that we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17 are so important, because they set the trajectory for where we're going today. Here's what the Bible says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful. Why? Because if you're not careful, if you're not intentional, there's that constant pull away from what matters most toward the lesser things of this world. There's that cultural sweep that will take you off course. And despite what we might want to believe about ourselves, the default stance of living in our world is not wisdom. The default is foolishness. So the Bible's telling us, be careful. Be very careful then how you live, how you plan. Be careful what you say yes to and what you say no to. Because Paul, the author of Ephesians, continues and says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In other words, he's saying this world is going to pull you off center. Is going to pull you off course. So make the most of every opportunity. Be intentional. Pay attention. And then he finishes with, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The Bible couldn't be more clear. If we're not careful in how we live, culture will drag us away from the things that matter most, from the things we say matter most. And it will lead us into a marginless, distracted, and ultimately meaningless life of living. Pastor Andy Stanley, who I quoted earlier, he wrote a book called The Best Question Ever. And the question that captures the heart of this book, I believe, is one of the most important questions that we can ask when it comes to our schedules. And in fact, my father-in-law gave me this question as well when I first started youth pastoring. And it transformed how I ministered to the kids and worked with them. Here's how most of us make decisions. If I said, hey, can you help me with such and such next Saturday? You say, well, am I free? Am I available? Is it right? Is it wrong? And none of those questions are bad. Are you free? Is it right? Is it wrong? And if you're free and it's not wrong, then chances are you'll probably say, yeah, I'm good. Let's do it. But that's not the best question. The better question to ask is it wise? In light of blank, whatever season you're currently in, is it wise to do such and such? And I want to encourage you when making decisions about your schedule to actually fill in that blank with whatever is important to you right now. For example, in light of our future hopes and dreams, is adding this thing wise? Or in light of our current family situation, is this decision wise? Or in light of the fact that our marriage isn't where it should be, Is it wise to take on this other commitment? Or maybe for you, it's in light of the fact that you have two babies running around in diapers. And is it wise to keep all the activities from when you were a bachelor or before you had kids? In light of the fact that you have a 17-year-old at home and you only have 1 year left with them under your roof, is it wise to keep saying yes to things that pull you away from home or not? And ultimately, in light of the fact that our days are numbered, as James says in James 4:14, your life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. In light of the fact that life is short, it's precious, and every day is a gift from God, is it wise that we invest our time on this, whatever that this represents for you? Is it wise? The question isn't, is it right? It's not, is it wrong? It's not even, can we do it? But is it wise? Where are you investing your time? So as scripture says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So the question becomes, what do we do with this? How do we actually schedule then wisely? Because again, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us aren't scheduling wisely. We're kind of scheduling reactively to whatever's yelling for our attention, kind of the squeaky wheel, whatever yells at us the loudest. Well, let me give you a very simple statement to help you schedule wisely and reshape the way you think about your time. And it's this: we must learn and have the courage and faith to say no to many good things so that we can say yes to the best things. So say it with me. What are we going to say no to? Many good things. And what are we going to say yes to? The best things. Just wanted to make sure you're still with me. Too many good things become the enemy of the best things. And that's why we need margin. That's why we need to be able to focus and zero in on what matters most and what God wants for us so that we can say yes to what matters most. As we saw last week in Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pull of culture, he's saying. He's saying, be different, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think. Don't think like everyone else. Don't be pulled like everyone else. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you ever been called weird? Yeah, all right. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But what I mean is that you choose to spend time with your family over your friends, and your friends are like, that's weird. Or you set boundaries in order to protect what matters most, and people are like, that's weird. And you make sure you're home more nights than you're out, and people again think that's weird. Well, I'm learning to love it. Like Ashley, I'm embracing it. Because whenever I'm normal, when I'm keeping up with the pace of things, it means that I've pulled all the way over to culture, and I'm just keeping up with the flow. But the closer I get to God, the more different I become from culture. The more aligned I am with his heartbeat, the more differently I spend my time. And while it might be weird, I love it. And when others hear about it or they see it in action, they say, man, that'd be awesome to do that, but that's kind of weird. And I'm like, thank you, because normal isn't working. Like, come on. Like, normal in our culture is marriages ending in divorce. Normal is kids who rebel and want nothing to do with their parents. Normal is feeling empty and purposeless, alone, more depressed than ever. And when it comes to scheduling, normal is being overworked. Normal is being overwhelmed. Normal is frantic, stressed, miserable, busy, and still empty. That's what normal is. And you just, it doesn't take long to think about it. Like, you think about the most common answer to, hey, how are you doing? Oh, dude, busy. Like, what's new? Oh, super busy. And When's the last time you heard someone say, actually, you know what, it's great. This week I intentionally cleared my calendar and just got away, time with the kids, took time to myself. We don't say those things because we might think people are weird, or people might think we're lazy, or I think also, if we say it out loud, others are excited to fill that time for you. Oh, you've got nothing on the go? Guess what? There's a new volunteer opportunity. But we need to understand, busyness does not equal productivity. There are so many people who are busy doing useless things, things that do not matter. Busyness doesn't equal importance. Busyness doesn't equal meaning. In fact, I would argue that many people are being robbed of a meaningless life or a meaningful life, not because they're not committed, but because they're overcommitted. They're being robbed of a life of meaning, not because they don't care, but because they care about too many things. And that's why I want to challenge you, I want to dare you, I want to beg you to have the courage and the faith to say no to what many others will say yes to, so that you can say yes to the very best things. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. As we've been growing as a church, I've been getting more opportunities to do more and more things, and it's been great, and they're good things, and I'm excited about these opportunities, but honestly, I find myself saying, like, how can I say no to that? Like, these are good things. So I go home, and because I have learned to say, let me check with my wife first, though. And I go home, and I say to Amanda, guess what? I have the opportunity to do this. And she's like, no. I'm like, but how do I say that? She's like, watch me. No. I'm like, man, it's easier said than done. And then our question is, well, don't I have to give a reason? No. No is a complete sentence. And for us, and maybe for many of you, we've had to make some intentional changes lately so that we can say no in order to say yes to what's more important. We live in a smaller home. It gets messy fast. We like things clean. We like things tidy, at least. Our kids, they don't have that same desire to keep things clean and tidy. It gets hard. And you clean one room, and then you leave that and go to the next room, and by the time you're done that room, you look back, and it's like a tornado has made landfall. And you're like, what happened? And sometimes the demands of life, the pressures of keeping things together, create this constant feeling of trying to control the chaos instead of just being present in it, of letting go of some of those things. And this past season, as things have continued to get busier, it's stretched into many of my evenings and my weekends. So one of the things Amanda and I have intentionally done is taken our kids out of school. And people might think it's weird, but I love it. Last Sunday, we had the snow come out of nowhere. I don't know if you guys were ready for it, but we decided to give our kids a snow day on Monday. They were like, is it actually a snow day? And we're like, no. But we're like, stay home. Let's play in the snow. And was it productive? Not at all. Was it tidy? Not a chance. Did we have a blast? Absolutely. But even my mom, I called her up to see if she was around home, and she was. And we came over and had a visit on our snow day, and she said, Kev, you sure take your kids out of school a lot. Like, I never let you do that. I'm like, trust me, I know. But I'm like, oh, I'm so glad, because life has been busy. I was away at Bedlam the 1 week. Then I was away with a friend the other weekend. And then the demands in the week were busy that I felt like I hadn't seen the kids. But that gave me 8 hours of just enjoying their presence. We're also navigating tech in our home. And we're learning as we go. If you guys have some answers, by all means, share them. I learned one this week about having a shared email address, and I'm like, ooh, I need to write that one down and remember. So, because now they're starting to communicate, and they're starting to make plans, and we're trying to keep up. But what we've done is we've also put some parental controls on their devices. So they can't access things, they shut off at certain times, they don't start until a reasonable hour in the morning. And then we also developed what we call a forced family fun night. It used to start as a family fun night, but the kids didn't really love that idea. So it's the forced family fun night. And we shut down the screens and we say, you're gonna have fun whether you like it or not. But here's what I've noticed, and this part fills my heart, is that as we've put these boundaries in place, as we've tried limiting some of these things, and we've gotten more intentional about our time together, we've had some of the best moments as a family. Like, we've played games, we've had good conversations, there's been more creativity, albeit with a mess that we try and hide behind closed doors. There's more laughter, there's more connection, there's more just being together and enjoying each other rather than just living in the same house together. And again, we don't do this perfectly, not even close. Like I shared last night, I creamed them at a game of Monopoly Deal and then had to get back to my work. But we're trying to do everything we can to be wise and to be intentional with the time and the opportunities that God has given us. Because perfection isn't going to change your life. Perfection won't change your family. Presence will. Intentionality will. Margin will. Is it normal? No. But is it wise for our season of life and ministry? 100% yes. So be very careful. Because if you're not, you'll be pulled into the lesser things. So I don't know what it is for you and your schedule. But I'm going to challenge you not to say, I wish I had more time for this, or I just don't have time for what matters. No, you have time for what you choose to have time for. You get to make the choice. Don't let anyone else talk you out of what's most important. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You get to choose. And here's what amazes me. For those of us who follow Jesus, there are two things that are absolutely essential to our spiritual development, our growth, our intimacy with God. But as soon as margin disappears, as soon as it evaporates, we get overwhelmed, life gets crowded, these two things seem to be the first to go. I'm sure you've seen it in your own life. The first is intimate time with God. That's the first thing. Life gets busy, life gets demanding, and that goes out the window. Intimate and consistent time, realigning your heart daily with God. Because again, by nature, our hearts are pulling us away. And that's why we need to daily realign our hearts with the Word of God, with His truth, with His presence. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, whatever you're worried about. Seek first God and His kingdom. A lot of you are going to say, well, you know what, Kev? You're a preacher. It's pretty nice that you work the one day a week and you get the rest of the time to sit with Jesus. But that's not my life. I don't get that. Listen, I would argue you all day long. You don't have time not to have time with God. Do I get paid to spend time with God? If you put it in a really crude way, absolutely. And sometimes I think God knew that and called me into this for that reason. But it's still a challenge. If we want everything else to be added unto us, seek Him first. If we want wisdom for our decisions, peace for our hearts, strength for our day, seek Him first. It's like the tithe. You give God the first, and then He blesses the rest. When you seek Him first, the rest of your day comes into alignment with the heartbeat of God. And it's incredible, and it doesn't make much worldly sense, but it works. when I start my day with God, even if it's short, even if it's imperfect, I accomplish so much more. I have clarity. I feel calmer. I don't feel as frantic or stretched thin. And even this past week, I challenged you guys to spend 5 minutes a day before God, with God, in silence. And for me, I literally had to set a timer. I put it as a recurring event in my calendar, and then I set a timer. And once the kids got on the bus, I sat there with my coffee. And the first few days were brutal. I'm just like, my mind's going everywhere. And I'm like, nope, I need to do this. And it was finally, I think, by Wednesday that the timer went off. And I was like, no, I'm not ready to be done. But it took me a few days to get there. And let me give you a better example of this, because this is someone that I admire and look up to. But I was talking to my wife, Amanda, and I'm talking to her about this whole series. And if anyone understands the tension of margin and priorities, it's her. She's a school teacher. She's an incredible mom. She supports me in ministry and in many ways that people will never see. And if I'm being honest, I'm high maintenance. But she carries so much in our home, our family, our church, and she does it with grace. But here's what amazes me. Even in the busyness, she's learned the importance of guarding that early intimate time with God. Her schedule's packed, her responsibilities are real, but she knows and she reminds me that everything works better when she starts her day with him. And she'll say to me, I can feel when I skip that time, my whole day feels off, but when I start it with God, I'm more patient with the kids, I'm more grounded, I know what to say yes to, what to say no to. And isn't that true for all of us? When you spend time with God, you become more sensitive to his voice. You recognize what's an opportunity and what's a distraction. You're more settled in who you are in Christ. You don't feel the need to say yes to every opportunity to feel valued. You don't need to please everyone to feel important, because you've already been with the one who calls you loved, chosen, and his. Well, last week I challenged you to spend 5 minutes. I'm not going to take a poll if you did it or not, but I'm going to double the goal this week. Try and go to 10 minutes. I'm going to do it too, and set aside that time. Open the Bible app, open your Bible, do a Devo, or just simply sit and say, God, speak to me. Through your Holy Spirit, hold me in this moment. Because when you lose margin, the first thing to go is often the most important. It's our intimate time with God. And the second thing we lose is intentional times of rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Those of you who are overwhelmed and hurting and stretched thin, don't know how you're going to make it through the next day. If you're feeling the pressure, if you're financially strapped, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not more tasks, not more expectations, not more religious activity, but rest. Rest for your souls. Jesus promises to give us the very thing that most of us do not have, if you'll come to him. I know most of us, when we get busy, we get that feeling of like, I can't afford to take a day off. But think about it. God worked 6 days, rested on the seventh. One of the top 10 commandments, honor the Sabbath, take a day of rest. And then elsewhere in the Old Testament, God told his people something that in our culture today would sound absolutely insane. He said, work the land for 6 years. Then on the seventh year, don't plant, don't harvest, let the ground rest. And if you suggested that nowadays in business culture, they're like, we can't stop. We've got to be more efficient. We've got to be more productive. We've got to make money. But God says, you don't understand. If you trust me, you'll harvest more in 6 years than you could in seven. Why? Because rest isn't laziness. It's faith. It's believing God can do more with your 6 days than you can do with your seven. It's trusting that his design actually works. It's a principle of faith. But here's the truth. Many of us think we're too busy or too important to truly rest, as if everything will fall apart if we stop. The world will come crashing down if I don't do these tasks. But underneath all of that busyness is this quiet belief that God's principles don't apply to me. That's what's underneath that. So it's not a scheduling issue, it's a faith issue. So let me ask you, especially those of you who claim to follow Jesus, do you really think it's wise to neglect daily time with God? Do you think it's wise to ignore one of God's top 10 commandments to rest? Because while you think you don't have time for these important things, the truth is you don't have time for the most important things because you're out of alignment with God. So I'm going to commit to fight with everything in me to not surrender to culture, to not get pulled off course, to be different, to be weird. Because guys, normal isn't working. Will you join me in the fight for what's best? Because if you don't have margin, you're missing out on the best parts of life. Take time this week to realign daily, to spend time in his presence, to find rest for your soul. Or you could choose to just get pulled to the side. But God didn't create you for normal. He created you on purpose, for purpose, and to be in a deeply rooted life with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we just quiet our hearts before you. We invite you to speak, and not rushed, not distracted, but fully present. God, we ask that the truth of your word would penetrate our hearts and that we would be truly careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the opportunities that you've placed in front of us. So forgive us for the times that we've let the pull of culture carry us away. Forgive us for drifting, for taking our hands off the wheel, for letting our lives get out of alignment with you. But we ask now that you draw us back. With every head bowed, every eyes closed, I just want to ask you two very honest questions. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you listen. The first question is, how many would say, I love Jesus, I want to follow him, but I haven't had a consistent, intimate time with God, and I feel it? If that's you, would you just raise your hand for a moment? No one's looking around. Just thank you. You can put them down. Just sit with that for a second. How clever our spiritual enemy is that he's able to convince us that the most important part of our day is the thing we can most easily skip. The second question is, how many of you would say, I'm so busy, I'm so tired, I'm stretched thin, and even when I try to slow down, I feel guilty for resting? Just lift your hand if that's you. We'll just take some time to pray with you and for you. You can put your hands down. Just feel the weight again of that moment. Jesus not only commands us, but invites us to rest. Not as a suggestion, but as a gift. So let's pray into this. Father, for every person who raised their hand, for every heart that longs to realign with you, I pray that you would meet them with grace, not guilt, with invitation and not shame. Holy Spirit, stir something fresh within us. Create in us a rhythm of seeking you first, of beginning our days with your presence, of learning to slow down long enough for our souls to breathe again. And God, for those who struggle to rest, would you break the lie that everything depends on them? Teach us the joy of Sabbath. Teach us what it means to trust you with our time, just as we trust you with our finances, our families, and our future. God, give us the courage to say no to what doesn't matter so we can say yes to what matters most. We pray this in Christ's powerful name. Amen.